Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync for January 7th, 2020. It's the first Pony Sync of the year. Welcome, everybody. My name is Andrew Turley, and I'll be the host. Can everybody introduce themselves quickly?
I'm Sean Allen.
Joe McElwain.
I'm Carl Quinn.
And I'm Matthias. I'm not the host. I'm not a host.
Anyone could be, though. Who knows? Okay. So I've dumped the agenda in the sync stream. So let's take a look at that. Start, as we always do, with PRs. PR 158. Sorry, jumping around here a little bit.
Sorry. We're starting PRs 158.
RFCs. Sorry.
RFCs. Okay. All right. Oh, 158 on the RFC repo.
Yeah. Gotcha. Sorry. I haven't done this in a while. I'm out of practice. Apologize. Okay. Add IP address classes to the net package and return them from net address instead of their raw representation. I haven't had a chance to look at this.
So as context right now, the only way to get back an IP address is in its, so either if we do basically name resolution, we either get a host or an IP string, but it does some weird indirection via get address info, some Pony IT internal thing, or we just get the U32 internal numeric representation that the SOC address is using. So it's heavily inconvenient, and this RFC addresses that by creating.
So would this would still leave the existing in place, but add an additional, yes or no?
So, so the net address representation will change, but this one will be returned instead of the.
So then there is no way to avoid the drawback of this requires an extra allocation.
As it is currently designed, no. We can make it so. Doesn't.
What do you mean we can make it so?
We can make the wall representation available to you if you like from net address, which is there anyway. So.
I would like to continue to have the additional allocation free. One is a possibility. At least without thinking about it more. I'm not really sure that people were going to be that one extra allocation when doing this actually matters. Or not, but if that continued to exist, would that then break existing code with net address?
I could be so. Currently, the raw representation is returned from a method called net IPv4 address or IPv6 address.
Uh-huh.
And from my taste, I would claim those functions and return the classes and add a raw prefix to return the raw representation. Does that make sense?
It does. Thanks.
But I'm open to any way, like how we. It's not to me. It's not about breaking code for NetAddress. It's about making this stuff more usable for the, like my use cases is getting a string from it and inspecting its properties in a straightforward fashion.
Could you add that example use case to the motivation?
Okay. Yeah, I think I have it, at least the string representation.
Right, but an example of what is currently painful, I think would be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you had an example of what would be currently painful, then I think that would make it easier, at least for me, to go, well, is there another way that we could do this with fewer drawbacks potentially? Which is what I always like to look at. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't really use this stuff much, you know, that I'm generally not getting the address and inspecting it, so I don't have a good idea of what's painful or not.
I find it interesting this conversation went sort of the same way that the Matthias and I were having a side conversation in the it was a different RFC that I'm sure we'll get to soon, but basically it came down to, you know, talking about allocations and like the tuple approach being, you know, favored from an allocation standpoint, but the class approach being favored from like a convenience standpoint, and it seems like we're in the current language features requiring those two, like we're kind of being asked to make a false choice between like on the runtime representation of tuples being tied to the fact that they can't have methods on them. And then, so I think this is something that's come up as a topic in the past that I think Sylvan raised a while back, is like the idea of having something that's like a tuple, but it can have methods attached to it. It's worth thinking about that in this context. It's a bigger change, obviously.
Yeah, so having tuples, like more capable tuples, would make stuff easier here and
yeah, avoid really just having those discussions. A kind of class that has the same memory representation as a tuple is what I'm thinking about.
Could a pony struct doesn't have any methods, no? It's basically just a C struct. Okay.
A struct does have methods. The issue is it's still allocated, but it doesn't have an object header.
Yeah.
It would be a separate concept from what the struct currently is, although somewhat related.
Yep.
Anyway, okay. I didn't mean to derail it too much, but that's kind of what came to mind for me as something that's interesting to keep on people's minds. I don't have a strong opinion on this RFC myself, other than just keeping performance aspects in mind and also convenience. I really appreciate the direction of the current NetAddress class is very much just based on how the C equivalent works of like the sock adder struct. And I would like to be using something that's more idiomatic for pony. I agree with that into this in general.
So yeah, I'm gonna adapt motivation and I'm gonna suggest not breaking the NetAddress code. I'm gonna try to find a way to make this intuitive. Yeah. Good naming and stuff. Good, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
157, move hashable to built-in package and make it easier to make objects hashable. Been a bit of discussion on this. Um, I mean,
it's kind of that same discussion that we were just having about like trying to avoid allocations and using tuples.
Yeah. Is there anything that we need to talk about here about this, or should we just continue the conversation in the GitHub comments?
So, I don't really understand why use collections is problematic. I don't understand the motivation. So,
for me, this RFC is more about the new like composable hashing and less about where the package is located. I don't personally care whether it remains in the collections package or moves to built in. I mean, I think there's arguments made either way. But what I really like about this is the more composable hashing patterns that would allow you to easily create classes that are based on the hashes of the classes that contain in a way that doesn't involve like number magic that you can easily get wrong.
So I feel like these should be two separate RFCs then.
Now, maybe arguably the reason they're tied together might be because like we would make more built-in types be hashable using this pattern of like, so both of the ideas that we've been talking about like would either require access to the hasher type in my first proposal or the hashing type in Matthias's proposal or my last proposal in that comment thread. So like if you were going to hash, for example, a string, you would do it by using this hashing primitive that provides like convenience methods for hashing things like that. And similar, like lots of other built-in stuff might have hashes based on this as well. And that would be why you would require this. It doesn't necessarily require the hashable interface to be there, but it kind of makes sense if the hashing primitive is there and built in. So I think they still do kind of go together.
Well, what you just described as the primary purpose of this is not how I read the RFC as it's currently written, right? I understand what you're saying. But this is as it's presented is that we're going to do it because it's a pain to do use collections, and it would make it more convenient to define some functions rather than we will make more things hashable, right? Like we are planning to do this, and it would go in built-in because we're going to make things that are in built-in hashable using one of these mechanisms. So, I mean, it could very well be that the RFC as it's written now, I haven't read all the comments that you guys have had going back and forth, has already evolved based on your conversation past what's written there. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that the presentation, you know, might need some like shift in emphasis or, you know, clarification. But that's just based on my own understanding. I'll let Matthias speak for himself in terms of what the actual intent is, but that's kind of my understanding or the reason why I'm attracted to this RFC.
So yeah, this RFC actually has two parts. So the actual motivation is I wanted to make a class in the net package hashable, and why do I then need to use collections? So if you would at some point write kind of your domain classes, whatever stuff that are defined by the fields, I would by default make them hashable to make them more usable for whatever, and then
more usable within a hash which is defined in the collections package.
Yeah,
that's where I run into like with that motivation as you present it, I don't understand, like, why would the interface to use something that's in collections be defined outside of where that interface is? If the interface exists to be used for something that's in collections, then I think the interface should be defined in collections.
Yeah. I just, because everything I want is something to be hashable, to use hashable, and I didn't come up with the use case, but it seems so basic and general, and so hashing is, so the main use case for hashing is for use in a hash map or some similar data structure, but it's maybe not limited to this. Maybe there are other uses of hashable, of hash, generating hashes from classes. I don't know. That's why. So to me, it feels I don't use any collection, but I want something to be hashable. Yeah, debatable.
One example of a use case for hashing outside of collections is the idea of, like, for example, in the compiler I'm working on, trying to do caching for like incremental compilation, basically. So if I can hash the AST at one stage, I can know, okay, I've already seen this hash before and I've already computed the result for it. So there's an example of hashing that doesn't require collection. So I guess maybe
sorry, you lost me at the last bit. How does that not require a collection?
Well, because the AST tree doesn't necessarily have any arrays or hash maps or lists or anything inside of it. Like, it's some data structures that I defined that are strongly typed with individual fields, and the collections package is not necessarily involved in that process. So maybe there's an argument to be made for that. Like, there should be like a hashing package, and that is used by the collections package. If we want to keep these stuff out of built-in,
mm-hmm. that makes that what you're saying there makes more sense to me now. At this point, I see what you're saying there. Right, is that I might want to, is that there are things that are outside of collections where we would want to use this hashable interface for. Things that other people would be doing, building their own data structures, et cetera, where they want to be able to use this standard interface. That makes sense.
Yeah, I guess my only question is anything in built-in going to get a hash that's computed using this method? Like for example, does anything in built-in need a hash with? And I would argue yes, that we would want this. So in the later incarnation of this RFC that we kind of talked about in the comments, we have some kind of hash with method that is defined on things. And if you have fields, you call hash with the hasher or the hash state on each one of those fields, and you end up with a hasher or hash state that is ready to compute the final result and in doing so, it seems like you'd want hash width to be defined on all the basic data types in built-in, so that way you could use it in this pattern. Is that
when you say defined on? Are you saying that each of the classes would have a hash function on it?
Specifically, we would need, in order for them to be compatible with this pattern, we'd need the hash width. Although. You could argue that the built-in types could just be defined. Well, sorry, it's a little bit hard to talk about since you haven't read the rest of the comments there. But there's kind of two ways to go about it. One of the ways that I would maybe suggest is that all of the built-in types, like for example, numeric types and string and all that fun stuff that might be fields of your class, you would want it to have the hash width method that takes the hash state as an argument and returns the hash state. And your hash method is then a result of calling hash width for that state for each field that you own. And for consistency purposes, it would be great if each field defined that hash width method. And you don't have to say, oh, well, this one's a number. So because it's a number, now I need to use this separate method to hash it or to include it in my hash, I should say. So it's kind of like all of the built-in types, I think, now already define a hash method on them, or all like the basic ones you'd expect. And now they would also need hash width in this pattern, and hash width takes an argument, and that so that argument type needs to be defined in built-in if it's going to work. And the other alternative would be to say that, okay, things in built-in don't get a hash width method, and you need to remember to use some other approach for including them into your hash state. I hope that was not too hard to follow.
So for some context, my initial approach was to have one primitive with convenience functions for combining X number of hashable fields or arguments or whatever into one hash, and just have like gazillions of functions for arities from 2 to 7 or 10 or whatever, and then combining them. And Jode suggested a different approach using hash width that doesn't put this burden on us to define all those functions. Although I have to say it's a bit more ceremony to use and to implement, as you see in the examples he provides. But it's...
So would this mean that every time I want to hash something, I'm going to need to, like, most of these look like, some of these look like every time I need to hash something, I would need to allocate an object
in the last
to do the hashing. I'm hashing is something that can happen in hot pass, and the idea of only being able to do it through something which requires allocations is something I'm definitely not in favor of.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of where the conversation went toward the end of the thread. You'll see one that.
That's why I was asking, because I skimmed. I didn't completely absorb them, but I skimmed through the comments that were there.
Yeah, so the last example in the thread that I posted has one without allocation. The state is a tuple.
All right. So can we leave it at that for now, or?
Yeah. So I take notes. I add them in a comment our discussion.
Great. Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome.
156, the behavior call syntax change proposal. just for the sake of time, is there anything that we really want to discuss about this right now, or should we leave the discussion to the issue?
So, I could ask my thing another time. I still think what hasn't been captured on this issue is the point that Nicholas made in Zulip about jumping the line. I don't believe I've seen that in here. and the surprises that could add to API design. right? Where there's a very clear delineation right now of if I provide something as a behavior only, then I, as the API person, can be very sure of my internal consistency. But if this is put into the caller's hands, I can see that I can see this making it creating interesting interesting race conditions potentially inside objects which might not be clear, and it's what I've been thinking about. I'm definitely not in a hurry to merge this, and I've really been trying to think through the ramifications of what Nicholas brought up, and I could see it being problematic. And the fact for me, I have a really hard time actually thinking about the ramifications of it, and I think that's in part because they're really subtle and potentially really nasty, I think. But anyway, I'm going to be thinking on that for a while.
Okay. Let's leave further discussion on that to Zulip and the issue itself then. Okay. There are no issues in RFCs. So let's move on to Pony C PRs. We've got 3440. Update docs of built-in array insert.
This was a depth from a previous sync call that I now finally paid.
I'm looking at this.
Which one are we looking at? Sorry.
It's 3440 in Pony C.
Good to me.
Yeah, it looks right. Unless I'm missing something. Wouldn't put past me.
Yeah, that looks good to me.
Okay. So let's go ahead and just merge this in then. So how do you do that?
I will.
Thank you, Sean. All right. 3437. Fix for options, handle command line options errors more gracefully.
Looks like somebody approved it.
Oh, all right.
Right.
That was a conditional approval on about giving the more meaningful.
Whoa. Wait, so if I have a debug build, this is going to just crap out. Like, is that any different? So we're gonna what's this assert at options C line 107. So when I'm in debug, RxC is greater than E. How is that change related to the one on line 107 related to the rest of this?
You're talking about the new Pony Assert?
Yeah. I don't understand how it's related to...
I think it's just a... It is a... Let's see. So, yeah, it seems that... it's validating like the assumption that this number, when you subtract the two on the later line, 109, is not going to go negative.
Okay, because it's unsigned.
Yes.
Okay. Why is... Is that really the place where we should be doing that? Sorry to drill in on this one little thing, but if that's a problem, if that's a problem there, isn't that a bug elsewhere really? And we're just happening to notice it now?
Could be true, yeah. Because we're talking about two members of that state struct.
Yeah.
Which are surely used elsewhere. Well, not necessarily surely. I've never dug into this code before, so.
Yeah, I haven't either, but that just jumped out at me.
It could be that this is the only... Go ahead.
I'm not saying it's bad necessarily, but I see, okay, so if remove is greater than zero, then we're going to change the size of SRGC. Okay, I see why this. Okay, I feel okay with this here. We've modified the size as part of this. Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. All right.
All right.
Yeah, so it's a check right after assigning.
Yeah. To RG. Yeah. Yep, that took me a little bit to follow that through and figure it out. Okay.
Okay.
Looks good to me. Shall we? Matthias, you approved it.
Yep.
Do you still want to wait and see if he can that's a more meaningful name?
We can, so it was, the minus two was there before. We can make it as part of another PR.
Okay.
It's not a showstopper.
Okay, sounds good. Sean, can you go ahead and merge that?
Done.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right, 3435, semi-working risk view support.
Yeah. I haven't looked at this at all.
What in God's name is Dippin doing?
Dippin things?
This is widening the orbit of Dippin things.
It's not passing right now. It makes a bunch of changes to make files, which might be changing. Like I'm of the when we can look at it when they pass.
Sure.
Is basically my thought.
Okay.
Until then.
Sounds good.
Not all that.
yeah. Okay. 3419, ensure non-blocking process wait and correctly report process exit status.
So there was no actual change, but it's, so I don't know. I just assigned Carl as a reviewer because I think you had dirty hands, and you put your hands on this module package already. So you can decline That's fine. I just want to say this is ready for review.
Yeah, I pinged him on that, and if you can maybe ping him on Zillip as well, he might have missed it.
Ah, he dropped out. Damn. Okay. Yeah, we'll do so.
All right. 32-34 build pony C using C make. Gordon,
so
here you are.
Gordon is here. He's here.
Hi. I have
welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, so the status of this is I'm still working on the cross compilation, and also the Windows build is broken for some unknown reason that I'm still looking at. I've got a little checklist in the PR now that I'm keeping track of stuff I need to do. And Sean and I had a conversation the other day about Pony Up and Corral. Where I said I didn't know if CMake was the right tool for doing Pony Up and Corral builds because I'm not familiar with how to use CMake for languages that aren't C++. So I think that was the context of my comments, Sean. So.
Yes. So the end result of our conversation was, and I wanted to get people to sign off on this general idea. Well, there's two ideas. Let me start with the big idea, because then there's the little idea. The big idea would be that we provide a standard pony-specific way to do builds in a cross-platform fashion, much like how Rust has Cargo, for example. And when Gordon and I talked about it, we felt that Corral would be the correct tool to do that with. So it would be doing, basically, Corral would become our equivalent to Rust Cargo. And wanted to get people's feedback on that as a thought.
So so Cargo is going to be more than just a package manager?
Sorry, Corral.
Corral, sorry, yeah, Corral.
Yeah.
It's becoming more than fetching and pinning and resolving dependencies and fiddling with the
yes,
pony.
Yes. It would drive the entire build process so that you can do all of your standard build stuff. So for example, right now, if you take a pony up, I want to add a Windows version of pony up, but for the way that we currently do stuff, we use make as the build tool for all of our stuff. That make file is not usable on Windows, right? Certainly not in a default environment. You know, we could have a PowerShell stuff version that gets used, et cetera. I mean, there's a variety of things there, but in the end, then every person writing a pony application is going to have to solve this problem in their own way, right?
Yeah.
Versus we could use some other tool to do this. There are tools like Waif, like Rake, which are these cross-platform, in theory, cross-platform things that you could use. You know, the Rust folks decided to solve this by having Cargo, which does it. After talking with Gordon for a while, you know, I think that doing the Cargo type approach, but having Corral be the tool that does that would be the right approach.
So that I'm in favor in general, but this, like, the idea is also to, like, I should never have to touch or write a line of pony C blah 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 again. It's all just from a B Corral.
I can't say yes or no to that.
It, right now, it just manages the pony path, but it could also just manage how you invoke pony C.
Like, is when you're building pony up or Corral right now, right? As these would be the two first things to use this, you should never type pony C to do anything. Right.
Yeah.
All of that is inside the makefile. Right. So the first step in my mind would be taking the functionality that exists in the makefile for the various libraries that we have. Right. Like NetSSL, et cetera. as well as the two applications, Pony Up and Corral, and being able to replace those make files with having Corral be the thing that drives the build rather than make, including all the functionality that we have there, including making sure that, you know, it'll do incremental builds, like if something has changed, et cetera, and whatnot. And that would be the first version that really goes out there for people to use, and we would start within the internal projects of making it work within the internal projects.
That's a big idea, man. I like it.
No. Does anybody not like it?
It makes sense to me.
Okay. I don't like it, but it makes sense to me. I think it's better than the alternatives. That's where I came to this from.
That's kind of the feeling that I have too. I want there to be something better, but I no longer believe that a better world exists.
Except maybe a YAML file.
There is no better life. There is no better life on the off-world colonies, Andy. There is no better life on the off-world colonies.
It's the best of all possible worlds. Got it.
Do you have any thoughts, Joe?
Nope. Not particularly. I think it makes sense. I don't have strong feelings about it.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts?
So I have an idea for something I would like to try out as a first step to get there. And what I would like to do is I would like to, for Corral and Stable, in order to get Windows releases out there for stuff, is that rather than having to, as a bootstrapping thing for how do we bootstrap Corral and being able to have it do this for Windows, et cetera, and everything, is what I would like to try out is to see within a Windows VM/container running on the GitHub stuff that the GitHub Actions runs, if we can use Cygwin to take the existing makefile and be able to build Corral and Pony Up Windows binaries that people would be able to use in the meantime as this additional functionality is added, and it would be a stepping stone along the way, rather than trying to provide people as a stepping stone along the way, try to recreate the functionality that's in the existing make files within a PowerShell script. Because my thought here is that it's going to take a while to get to this endpoint with Corral, and the less maintenance that has to be done for changes that happen in makefiles or anything, the better. I'd rather not have to try and do it in both a Windows-specific environment and in a Mac and Linux-specific environment. So I wanted to try using Cygwin as part of the build to see if we could have a single make file in the meantime until we get there. But then not, like, this is only for our own internal projects. Anybody have an objection to that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me for bootstrapping purposes.
Yeah, same.
I spent way too much time thinking about this. Okay. In between house things, I will. I'll work on that. The first thing would be coming up with the list of everything that would be needed for Corral and the build stuff. Alrighty.
Excuse me. Okay. So that's it for Pony CPRs. Get three issues. Style guide repeats as okay and not okay.
It makes sense once you parse it. It took I had to read it about 8 times before I understood exactly what Ryan was saying was the issue. Mm-hmm. But then I went into edit to make it more clear, and I couldn't actually. It because the entire problem turned out to be that I selectively read certain parts of it the first time.
Yeah, no, I get it now looking at it. Okay. So, yeah. I don't know that we need to say a whole lot more about this.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay. All right. Out of my lap, making this difficult. 3439 --- help handling is odd with command parser.
Yes, I discussed this privately with Carl because I wasn't sure where the bug was, and he was like, "Oh, I believe it's here. Please open an issue for it, and I'll take a look when I have time."
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in the command parser, right, anything which is a long option one like that is implemented as a Boolean. Right,
yeah.
And you should be able to turn it off with long version equals false. So like --- help equals false. But for help, it ignores that.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it operates as, and if you inspect it and do everything else about it, it looks like it's a Boolean. It'll say that you turn it on. You can turn it on. You can turn it off. It'll even tell you can turn it off with. The default is --- help equals false is what it says, right? That if you actually use that, if you supply the default, it does something different than what the default actually is.
Okay. Yep.
I basically randomly found this while looking at the pony up stuff and I was like, oh, that's how that's implemented. And then I started poking at it and found a thing.
Yeah. It's weird. Probably not something very many people would run into, but.
I was doing my Scott Furchie on it.
Nice. Okay, 3406, no mention of code of conduct at getting help in README. Behave according to the code of conduct.
Yeah, so I mean, most of the stuff on this is that Eric opened a PR against the website to add it to there, and then he would update the README to point to the website for the getting help stuff in the current README already points to getting help on the website. So by adding it there, it would close the session.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't know if everybody saw, but the READMEs were substantially changed, and hopefully in a fashion that at least Eric and Theo agreed made it much easier to navigate how to install stuff and everything, and that should get still easier going forward with some more pony up fixes and stuff.
All right. So we have 3 minutes left until the hour. Do people want to keep going through or just try to do a few more and then pick things back up next week? I can stay and keep going through. Does anyone not want to stay and keep going through?
I have no opinion either way. I'm fine with like ending at our normal time.
I've got to jump away, but I wouldn't be upset if you could continue. So.
How about you, Germany?
I'm indifferent.
All right, let's keep going then.
Yep.
Let's keep.
If there's anything where we feel we need Joe's input or anybody else who drops off, then
yeah, leave a comment.
We can leave a comment and continue on.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. In that case, then I'll just start. I'll go from the top. Change log tool. There's PR number 60, update installation instructions.
Update installation instructions. Right. Okay. This is opening. Right. We can move on from that. 79 on Corral, waiting for Carl to respond to some stuff. It's not working. I gave him some suggested fixes.
Okay. All right. 78, moving on to issues in Corral. Issue number 78, use Apter's library.
Yep, that's part of the PR that's there.
Yeah.
77, issue 77 is part of the PR. 55, that's a new one. We discussed that just a couple of minutes ago for...
this is the add Windows builds. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your proposal to use Cygwin.
Well, that's what I'll update it at some point. Yeah. Well, actually what I'm just going to do is I'm going to try it out and see if it even works or not.
Okay. 28 to do item, get a repo cache.
It's only showing up because it was referenced from another issue. So that's the change. There's no actual change there.
All right. Main actor. Underscores and function names mistaken for formatting and doctrine.
Yeah. I asked Chris for his input, but he hasn't gotten back to me yet on it. So
I see that. Okay. Okay. Pony tutorial. There's an issue. Add runtime basics to the tutorial. That's kind of an ongoing thing with Ryan, right?
Yeah, he's been kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally updating with his progress.
Yep. Great. Okay. Cool. That'll be nice to have. Pony Lang website, one PR for adding the etiquette blurb to getting help. We already kind of talked about
that. I've been asked to review it, so I'm going to do that now.
Okay.
So blah, 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 let me get you covered. Isn't done, we won't get into it. We only request you follow proper and be quite respectful. I like this. I think this is a good first step.
Okay.
I'm going to merge this.
That's good.
There's nothing perfect for things like this, but I think it's a good first shot. Yeah. Which means that other one, that other issue can be closed. Where is that issue? Right. I believe this can be closed.
That was the... let me see issue.
That's 35. You can keep going. I'm just dropping it up to Eric.
Okay. let's see here. The staying on Pony Lang website. There's last week in Pony for January 12th, 2020. That exists. Be aware of it. And then Pony Up, we have a few issues.
Yep.
Okay. Do we want to go over these real quick?
So the show command.
The show command timeout doesn't work.
Yep. There's a timeout there, but it appears to not be working. We've never run into this issue, but apparently to CloudSmith's CDN where Superhero and Jay is, he sometimes gets this, and instead of timing out, it hangs. And I don't actually know that. The he, they, get this. Yep.
Okay. So look into.
So that. It's a bug. It's a bug. Yeah. 85 select fails on latest version. This was something that came out of a different one that was also opened by the same person that Theo noticed, and he opened an issue for specifically. Okay. There's 80, which is release 0.5.1, where when any of these bugs or whatever happens, we'll do a fixes. We'll do a release. There are also there are three issues, which is 66, 65, and 62, which were part of Theo and I sat down and talked about what do we need for there to be a version for us to go into testing for version 1.0. And those were three issues that we came up with, which we've been poking at. The idea would be is because we have the 1.0, it's not like we finished these things and we're going to call it 1.0, but it would be we believe we are feature complete for 1.0 and now we want to get it into heavier use, and if people are not reporting any bugs, you know, over the course of like 2 to 3 months, we would take whatever version it is and just turn that into 1.0. Right?
Got it.
61 is that we had to do a couple of if-defs for some macOS tests until such time as there are releases for macOS available, at which point these could be removed. But part of the test is that it verifies that it can download both nightly and releases on each platform, and there are no macOS releases yet. So we if-def those out. This is an issue to remind us once there are some to get rid of the if-defs so that it can work correctly.
Okay. Way to power through. Anything else anybody would like to bring up?
If
you're in New York, you should go see Sean's talk tomorrow at Papers We Love.
Yes. Yes. Which, yes. Yes. And if you aren't, if you are on macOS or Linux, please start using PonyUp and give open bugs, give feedback, etc. So that we can move that forward, because oh my, it's a much better installation process.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay. I think that wraps up for this week then. Next week I may not be around, so somebody else may be hosting this, and see you all next
probably
week.
Me.
Probably Sean. Okay. Take care, everybody.